All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams Lee.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! Public display. Is that what you need? They slayed the dragon. Yes, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, HOCKEYSEASON. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic, on all platforms. They've got you covered for your trading card needs, so go check them out, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, what have you. Zephyr Epic's got you covered, as I said, for all of your trading card needs. The best part about Zephyr Epic, in our humble opinion, is that they ship free anywhere in Canada on any order over $50 from
Surrey to Sutherland, Saskatchewan. Sutherland, Saskatchewan has a good ring to it in its own right. Let me run through the facts quads before we let you chat about it. All right, population 5,200. So this is, you know, half decent little town. I like the over 5,000s. They got a lot going on there. Here's what the average home cost in Sutherland is. So my hometown in Nanaimo, there was a big deal back in December. They released like how the average home price in Nanaimo, and this is Nanaimo, not Vancouver. The average home in Nanaimo is over $1 million. Well, the average home in Sutherland is $288,000 to buy. So very cheap to buy a house in Sutherland. Former, or I guess home of former NHLer Chuck Rayner, who was a goaltender who played 425 games in the NHL, goals against average over 3 throughout his career. But get this, Chuck Rayner's nickname, and I don't know how the hell this happened, and I just saw the nickname, I didn't see why this was given to him for a nickname. Chuck Rayner's nickname is Bonnie Prince Charles. That's what they called him as the goaltender in the NHL for, I think, like 13 seasons, 400 games. Chuck Rayner, nicknamed Bonnie Prince Charles.
That's a nickname. That doesn't make any sense. I'm a little confused about it, if I'm being honest with you. Do you have more on that, or no?
Nope. My sources online here, they're trustworthy to a degree, but they don't give you all the damn information. So somebody can look it up and let us know why Chuck Rayner was nicknamed Bonnie Prince Charles.
Should we play everybody's favorite Canadian geography game? Does it have a Boston Pizza, Tim Hortons, or an A&W, or all of the above? Should we play that with Sutherland? Because I'd like to, I think.
Well, in the history of Sutherland that I learned, a monumental day was in the 1980s when they received a Real Canadian Superstore. So that was a big day in Sutherland. That was literally in the Wikipedia page about like history of Sutherland. So I'm going to guess that this is very much a A&W town. I mean, 5,000 people, like towns of 5,000, they get a Boston Pizza for sure.
I think it's got a Tim Hortons. I'm not going with A&W or Boston Pizza. I think it only has a Tim Hortons.
Well, no, I mean, I guess town of 5,000, that's got to have a Boston Pizza. I'm going to look this up here.
I don't think that, because you look up Boston Pizza, I'm looking up Tim Hortons. We're doing this live on there. We're getting ready for the live show. Also, as Chris and I do that, folks, I should mention, we're apart. Chris is in Penticton for the Young Stars Tournament, which we'll get to in a second here. But right now, we're looking this up. But I'm still back in the Lower Mainland. We're getting ready for training camp next week. But Chris having that Nation Network whip cracked on him by me. He is in Penticton right now. He's going to be covering the Young Stars Tournament all weekend long. Canucks are coming off a big win on Friday night, and we'll get to that in a second. But Chris, do you have anything on Boston Pizza?
I don't see a Boston Pizza, but they got a Taco Time, so that's good enough in its own right. I hope that, by the way, I don't sound too bad. Like, I didn't even go out and have a drink last night, but I did leave the AC on when I went to sleep. And, like, I can feel the raspiness in my voice. Plus, I'm coming in on a different mic. So, yeah, I'm going to imagine that I sound pretty strange right now on the podcast.
Okay, so they have a Tim Hortons. They have a few Tim Hortons, by the way. Like, more than a few. It's got a bunch of Tim Hortons. I'm shocked at how many Tim Hortons there are.
How many are we talking here?
I can't even count them. I'm blown away. I might have to post this photo because there's so many. I can't believe it. And I'm texting it to you right now so you can see it. I know this makes great radio, folks, but I might tweet this as well. Actually, I'm going to tweet it with no context so people don't know what's coming. But holy smokes, I am stunned at the amount of Tim Hortons in this city. But you're right, Chris. I couldn't find a Boston Pizza and a Taco Time. Who would have thought that, eh?
Dude, there's like, from the picture you just sent me here, there's three Tim Hortons in like a kilometer and a half strip.
Yes. It's unbelievable. So like every five, I'm literally stunned. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you got to tweet that out with no context.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that right now. But as I do that, go ahead and start us with your Young Stars covered. We still have to just mention that we are delivered, excuse me, by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli, joined as always by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. Chris, you're in Penticton. You're covering the Young Stars. What'd you see on Friday night?
Well, you know, I got to start with the DoorDash. I'm on here, like on location for work, so I hit DoorDash last night. So I order a pizza at like, I don't know, got home pretty late from the rink, did a lot of writing, and then ordered a pizza at like 12:30 on DoorDash. Got here like just after 1. Excellent little pizza, 2-for-1 Canadian. Shout out to them over here in Penticton. Good little pizza, showed up late. Even gave the delivery driver like a $10 cash tip because I was like, dude showed up here at like 1 o'clock. Like, that's a late night for a DoorDash dude. So, yeah. It was good pizza last night, and I got half of it in the fridge here. We're all good. We're not worried about food for the rest of the week here. But yeah, I mean, it was...
Sorry. I need to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I just found out Sutherland is not a city, Chris. It is a neighborhood in Saskatoon, which explains the amount of Tim Hortons that we saw. We were looking at a map of Saskatoon, not just Sutherland. That was an entire... That was all of the Tim Hortons in Saskatoon, which I think we could have guessed there would be a high number of them.
Okay. That makes sense. That's the blank spot on my... the blank part of my research there was not knowing that Sutherland is just like a part of Saskatoon. Which, you know what, now that I say it out loud, my fiance's parents live in Saskatoon, and they only listen to the start of this show, and then as soon as we start talking hockey, they turn it off, because they want to support the downloads and listens, but they don't really like the Canucks talk, so they're going to be screaming once again. And they normally get mad when I pronounce, like, cities from New Brunswick wrong, but now they're going to be like, how did you not know that this is Saskatoon? So they're going to be pissed about this. It's likely that
looking at a map.
Yeah, they're going to end up like living in Sutherland probably, and I'm going to get a text from my fiance's mom about that very soon, as soon as this episode drops, pretty much.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. Back to your Young Stars coverage. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what an excellent tournament it's been. Like, just not even I'm just talking about, like, we only had one night of games on Friday. I went to both of them. I just think that, like, the vibe around the city is awesome. Like, this whole area that we're in, and I'm right across the road from the rink, it's just there's so many fans here at this hotel that I'm staying at. The amount of fans that we saw at that game was pretty great, and man, like, I can't get over this. I think it's called the South Okanagan Event Center, where the Penticton V's play. I can't get over, like, this is a junior A arena. It's ridiculous to me because I've seen other junior A arenas. I've gone with you to whatever that little teeny barn with three rows of seats is to watch a Coquitlam Express. And then I know my Nanaimo Clippers down at Frank Crane Arena in Nanaimo. And, like, this, it's ridiculous to me that this is where, like, a junior A hockey team plays, because it is a gorgeous rink. And so far, a really good tournament. It was nice to watch the Oilers play against the Jets. That was a half-decent game. Jets have some pretty talented players. And then the Canucks on Friday night was a pretty fun game. Like, it was the expectation going into it was, this is probably the best goaltending matchup that you'll see throughout the tournament, with Dustin Wolfe going up against Artur Sealovs. I don't think there's two better goalie prospects at this tournament. And to watch those two have a good battle for 40 minutes and then the Canucks come through in the third period. I mean, overall, like, the first day of all of the Young Stars tournament for the Vancouver Canucks, I don't know if it can go much better. I mean, it was a very good showing. It was some good feeling moments watching Archdeep Baines be the first guy to score for the Vancouver Canucks, a hometown kid with his parents in attendance, first time wearing a Canucks jersey and having the number and the name on the back. Like, just an awesome story in that right on its own. But I mean, it's set up so well, man. You know, Jonathan Wall's a guy who is, you know, kind of made this tournament his baby. And he's been all around the rink. I chatted with him, well, multiple times yesterday, just kind of walking around the rink and seeing him. And he's doing an excellent job. He really cares about making this tournament, like, the best it could be. And for a fan experience, I thought it was perfect. Like, it was a great day of hockey. What a great tournament set up here. And it's so awesome to have the Young Stars back here in Penticton. I've never been to one before, so it was great to just kind of, like, go into here and not really have expectations, but the expectations that my mind would have set in its own right, like, they have been blown away. I love the Young Stars tournament, and we're only one day into it so far.
You likely weren't expecting to hear Bruce There It Is chant at that tournament, were you?
Oh, dude, so I gotta tell you what happened here. So I'm looking, here's my only complaint about the Young Stars. My only complaint is that we are, as media, we're set, and you've seen this sometimes in random rinks, the media is set, like, behind a net. So it's not like, it makes it a real struggle to see, like, the other end of the ice. But it did set up a perfect viewpoint for this. So I'm looking at my left, Section 107, shout out to them, they were tweeting at me. they were the ones that started the Bruce There It Is chant, and it was loud. They had a good crew of people with the Bruce There It Is chant. So I look to my left, I see that chant going off. I look to my right, and I don't know if anybody captured this on video. I wish I did. But Bruce was like, I don't know, when you see someone laughing really hard and they're almost like bouncing back and forth on their chair, like back and forth and losing it, like Bruce was losing it. He was having such a good time watching that. And then the fans were even going more nuts when they saw Bruce like absolutely losing his mind about it. So I immediately saw like the Canucks socials team just like trying to get as many cameras on him as possible during the Bruce There It Is. But I think they missed it. But a lot of people saw Bruce's reaction to the Bruce There It Is chant was hilarious, man. He was losing it like he was at a comedy show. And just like, I don't know, it's been a blast so far to see all the Canucks brass out there and being able to get these youngsters off to a really good start with a big 3-0 win.
That was hilarious to see. Not the win, the Bruce There It Is chant. I was shocked. That was so much fun. But as for the game, you know, the only person I want to talk about is Archer Seelovs, but I'm going to do that for a little while, and I want to warn you that I'm going to be doing that for quite some time. So do you have anything from that game that you'd like to discuss that isn't about Archer Seelovs?
Yeah, but you know what? It is the biggest story, I think, from that game. Like, it was, you know, he ends up making just 4 saves in the third period, so it's not like he was really challenged in the final frame. But that the opening 30 minutes, I thought, like, he was really challenged. The final kind of second half of the game was really a good job by the Vancouver Canucks just having possession in the offensive zone. But I'll let you go first with your Seelovs talk, because I do think it kind of was, to me, one of, you know, the two big stories, like that and Bane scoring, that was pretty incredible. Like, I'll get to mine after, but I'll let you go off. You can do your Seelovs thing now. I'll just add this, like, in the post-game media availability, like, Seelovs was, this is the best I've seen him in an interview. He was happy. He was giving good answers. He even tried to, like, make a little bit of a joke at one point where he, like, I asked a question about something with, like, spending time with Ian Clark so much in the summer, and, like, how do you kind of transition all the work that you put into game action, because that's something that he hasn't really had an opportunity to do over the last 2 years. Like, all this work that he does, whether it even be, like, last summer or the summer before, it's not like he was immediately thrown into spots and being the first starter for the team out on the ice. In the AHL last year, he's kind of coming in as the second goalie, ends up pretty much becoming the third goalie, not that early into the season, because Spencer Martin was so good when he got his chance. So he kind of joked, and it was kind of funny watching him put it together, because, you know, English is his second language, but he speaks it well, obviously. I think he's going to be used as a translator today, actually, for Danila Klimovich. But he joked, and he's just like, I'm just trying to ride that wave. And as he, like, gave that answer, he had, like, a big smile on his face, because I think he was pretty happy that he was able to get that saying out there. And that's pretty damn true, right? Like, when you're working with Ian Clark and you're spending all this time with him in the summer, I think to a certain degree, you do kind of just want to, like, ride that wave. And so far, like, you know, really good showing, obviously, for him in his first game. But I'll let you go off on the actual game stuff of Seelovs, because, yeah, he was excellent. He was a really good goaltender in that game, in a 24-save shutout.
Well, I just like when he plays on a bigger stage and fans are, like, shocked about him. Fans are like, oh, wow, this Seelovs guy's pretty good. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a long time, so I feel like listeners of our podcast already know Archer Seelovs is the real deal and that he's going to be something special. But it's funny because, like, this happened in that preseason game against Seattle. Like, this, even it was the Seattle announcers for the most part, but it was also, like, even some Vancouver media was like, wow, Seelovs is pretty good. It's like, yeah, like, pay attention. You can see that he's good, you know, just when you watch him at any level, right? So anyways, it was really funny. I always get a kick out of it when I see Twitter and everything talk about Seelovs. And yeah, like, last night, guy gets a shutout in his first Young Stars game. And again, like, let's not forget, he was going toe-to-toe with Dustin Wolf, who, you know, by all accounts is the best goaltender in this tournament. And yeah, I joked on the last show that Archer Seelovs is the best goaltender in the tournament, but by the numbers, right now, he actually is. Like, he outplayed Dustin Wolf last night, who, as we said, is probably the best goaltender in this tournament. So the fact that Seelovs is able to do that, and again, like, the outlook for him this year in the AHL, I'm going to be really curious to see how many starts he gets with Jeremy Colliton's guy, Colin Delia down there, in the minors with them. Again, I've said it before, but I'm fully expecting Spencer Martin to be the NHL backup, leaving Colin Delia in the minors. So I'm really curious to see how many starts Seelovs gets. I think he deserves it. Like, I think he deserves that AHL starting job. And again, like, if he's able to do that, he's kind of following the path of, you know, Mikey DiPietro when everybody was really high on Mikey DiPietro, right? When Mikey DiPietro came in kind of in his rookie AHL season and took the starter's job from Zane McIntyre, that was a huge win for Mikey DiPietro. And then obviously COVID happened. We don't have to get into all that right now, but I'm really excited for the future with Archer Seelovs. I think I've said it before, I think he's an exceptional goaltender. I think he showed it last night. I'm really excited to see what he's able to accomplish this year.
Yeah, and I think it was huge for him to just, like, I'm sure Jeremy Colliton's very aware, who, by the way, is the AHL coach this year. He's also coaching at this Young Stars tournament. I'm sure he's very aware of, like, the work that Seelovs has been putting in with Ian Clark and Marco Torrenias. Have I got that right? Torrenias?
You do. Yep.
Perfect. Okay, I'm nailing that. Like, I'm sure that he's aware of the work that he's putting in, but for Colton's first viewing of game action Seelovs to be a 24-save shutout, like, I know it's just the Young Stars tournament, but it still means a lot, and Colton kind of spoke about that in the postgame as well, just saying, like, you know, there's a lot of takeaways from watching a player in game action, right? And these are things that he was very happy about, whether it be guys returning from the AHL who played last year to this tournament, or guys that he just hasn't seen before but expects to see in the AHL lineup for him. Like, this, you know, this situation with Seelovs is a perfect example of that. Colton's got to expect to see Seelovs play some games. And, I mean, if he's running through this tournament and playing extremely well, which is something that's very possible, I mean, look at the heater that Seelovs went on at the World Championships with Latvia. I mean, this guy, I don't know, he's streaky at times, right? There was even times last year in the AHL where he was extremely good for a handful of games, but he also had a few games where he wasn't good, and that's kind of what affected, in my eyes, his goals against average and save percentage. If you're looking at just basic goaltending metrics and looking up some numbers, like, Seelovs doesn't look like he had a good season last year, but if you go by and you watch, like, the game-by-game, like, you're kind of impressed on, like, a handful of games, but it wasn't like he was able to keep it up for every start that he had. So right now it's this tournament's a great opportunity for him to make a good first impression on Colliton, and obviously that first game was a good showing for him to start with.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Like, it's all about impressions, and again, that was a really good first impression for Archer Seelovs to make. And the final thing I want to say on him is just about, like, the structure in his game, right? Because I was talking to Colin Delia, and, you know, he was talking about his career, reflecting a little bit on his career in Chicago, and he talked about how badly he just wanted structure in his game and how he never really got it in Chicago, right? And again, like, that's why I make such a big deal about the Canucks goaltending department, with the fact that with Curtis Sanford at the helm, or not at the helm, excuse me, but in the AHL, how the communication was really good between Ian Clark and Curtis Sanford, and then the goaltenders. Like, I've made the big deal of it in the past of mentioning that, you know, goaltenders would go to training camp, learn things from Ian Clark, and then they would go down to the minors, and they would have the exact same things being taught to them by Curtis Sanford, right? And, you know, I tried to stress that was a big deal, and to hear Colin Delia kind of talk about his time in Chicago and say, like, you know, no one really brought structure into my game, and, you know, he mentioned working with Ian Clark is a big reason that he chose to sign in Vancouver, because he wants that structure in his game. It was really interesting, because then we were kind of just chatting about Archer Seelovs, and he said, like, it's crazy, like, I watch Seelovs and I'm kind of jealous, because these new concepts that I'm learning at the age of 26 or 27, however old Delia is, you know, he's had them from the start. Like, he's basically only worked with Ian Clark in his professional career, right? So Delia was kind of joking that he's a little bit jealous of Seelovs, because he's got these concepts kind of ingrained into him. And again, like, you see it last night, right? Like, you see the post integration, you see the way he moves, really how similar it is to Thatcher Demko, right? Like, I've always talked about Seelovs being an athletic freak. Like, you can see how fast he drops into the butterfly, how well he seals off the bottom of the net, you know, just with such efficiency, right? It really is a treat to watch Archer Seelovs play. And again, like I said, I think this kid is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I did ask the question, like, is he going to send Clark a text message? But I at the time, I must have blanked because Ian Clark is out here as well. He's not on the ice like Coach Marco, who I'm going to say. He was out, like, on the ice with Seelaws and even, like, you know, chatting with Ty Young about, like, what it's like to, you know, even just go up and, like, make a save on one of the Sedins. Like, Ty Young said it was pretty surreal, like, almost gives him, like, chills when he's on the ice and makes a glove save on one of the Sedins. So there's a good group of development staff out here, and that includes Ian Clark out here as well to help develop these goaltenders. But kind of just sets him up nicely. And yeah, you mentioned it. Like, he is an athletic freak. He's worked on a lot of things to kind of refine his game. And when I asked him about if he's a different goaltender coming into this year than last year, he said, yeah, because everything's always improving and it's always small things. Like, that's what he was saying. It's not, I think the way that Ian Clark works with Seelovs is like, you've talked about this a lot, Claude. Like, he, you know, obviously Ian Clark's very high on Seelovs. It's something that's like pretty much public knowledge from the organization. And that's kind of what he said. It's like, it's not really like Clark's changing everything in his game, but the way that he said it was like, it's not big changes, but it's always small changes. Like, it's always little things, little ways for him to have, like, be more mechanically sound. And yeah, like, man, it showed really well in that first game. I thought he was great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I got on Seelovs. You can chat about your other players before we go to our ad break. And I got to mention, little tease here. The Atlas Goods poll question, my option didn't get on there, and I'm a little pissed off about that. And folks can probably already guess what it is without hearing the question. But you go ahead. You tell us about the rest of that game and kind of, you know, just what you saw, who you're excited about, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, I guess we'll kind of just get started with the top line. Like, I thought the top line was really good. Of Archdeep Baines, Chase Waters, and Linus Carlson. That line looked strong, specifically, like, you know, watching Carlson drive to the net. I think a lot of people have expectations of Swedish players, and it's that they are good shooters and they stay on the outside and really rely on those distant shots. But Carlson was, you know, putting his shoulder down, driving to the net, being able to bang against bodies in the corners and come out of those 50-50 battles with the puck. And like, I really liked that line in the game on Friday. I thought they did a good job of maintaining possession in the offensive zone, also a really good job of just defending. Like, you know, Waters and Baines are really smart defenders, and I think the best player in this whole game was Archdeep Baines. And I mean, from start to finish, it looked like he had that go up and get it attitude. He was going and creating plays for himself. He was really good in the defensive zone, an active stick, and I think that's super. It's great to see. It's a step in the right direction for a guy who I don't think a lot of people actually have concerns about him jumping into the AHL. I certainly don't. I think he's a guy who, you know, led the WHL in scoring last year. I think that's going to be a spot where he's going to put up points when he gets to the AHL as well. It's just going to be interesting to see where he kind of shapes out into the AHL lineup. I don't know if he starts the season in the top six, but everything that he showed in that first game of the Young Stars proved that he is a legit player for this team, and I think is going to be a guy who gets some good positions to be put in the AHL this season. So I really like Baines' game. And even the second line, it had its moments, right? I mean, Daniil Klimovic kind of, you know, it was funny for me because I've seen a lot of AHL games for Klimovic, and a lot of these people that are, a lot of Canucks media hasn't seen as much Klimovic as I have. So it was kind of funny. I said, like, you know, at the end of the game, like, you got the full Klimovic experience, man. You got a couple of really good shots that missed the net. You got a couple of scoring chances that he created with the speed. He also broke his stick and didn't look very happy about that. You also saw times where he, you know, you see the controller die and he kind of just doesn't really give a full effort coming back on a back check. You got to see a lot of what Klimovic did in that game. And I did like the combination, and they were both getting opportunity on the power play, was Quinn Schmiemann and Chad Nychuk, the two players that they signed out of the WHL, defensemen. Both of them, I thought, played well. I think it's interesting for me because I want to see these two players, though they're so similar, of guys who scored well in the dub and now making the jump to the pro hockey. But they're going to be kind of battling each other for minutes in the AHL. And I thought Schmiemann kind of won night one of the Young Stars in that aspect. And he's put into a little bit of a higher role. He's on the first power play. He's playing on the first pairing. So really good stuff for him. But the name that stuck out is kind of, to me, like, the second best player on the ice is Tristan Nielsen, who's a dog, by the way. Tristan Nielsen was all over the puck, offensively, like being able to carry it in the offensive zone. Little things of just getting underneath the skin of the opposition. I know there was a huge hit from you know, little 5'9" Nielsen at one point in the neutral zone, or kind of near the blue line. He like laid a massive hit after Klimovich went like sliding into Almond and tripped each other up. And then I forget the guy's name on the Flames. It's like Kapka, I think, maybe, or something like that. He's a 6'8" forward for the Flames, and he just goes and like tries to challenge Nielsen, who he literally had like a foot height advantage on, and he just kind of dropped Nielsen to the ice. But the dude was playing a really good game. He's an absolute dog. Like, Tristan Nielsen was all over the puck. He was excellent on the forecheck. He drew some penalties in that game. I thought that he was, you know, a player that really stood out at these Young Stars tournament because of his speed. He ends up scoring the second goal for the Canucks to kind of put it away into the third period, and really liked the play from him, man. I think it's going to be an interesting year for him. I know that he's hungry. Like, I've talked to him out there at those skates in Burnaby, and the way that he's talking about it, it's like, you know, it's not like his whole pro career is riding on this season, but I think to a degree, like, it almost is a little bit. I think he might be able to get an opportunity somewhere else in the AHL if he doesn't pan out here, but he talked about the importance of playing for a contract this season. This guy isn't playing for, you know, a lot of hockey players are in the situation, we talk about this often, that, you know, they're going to be UFAs at the end of the year, and they're going to play really hard to make big money on their next contract. For Nielsen, it's like, he needs to produce, and he needs to play well in the AHL just to stay in the AHL. For him to earn a contract next year isn't about, like, how much money he can make. It's about if he stays a pro hockey player, and I think he showed well in his rookie season in the AHL, even had that hat trick game that we talk about so often here on this show, but injuries kind of derailed him at the end of the year. It's why he wasn't able to play in the playoffs as well. But this kid can absolutely fly. I've said it before, I'll say it again, he's got that dog in him. And Nielsen's just like, it's a blast to watch him have a game like that where he makes such an impact playing his style. And yeah, I'm excited to see him at training camp, because I do think that his speed is going to be something that kind of sticks out a little bit, even against NHL players. Like, he has that much speed in his game where it does stick out no matter who he's on the ice with.
Tristan Nielsen, featured in our Atlas Kids poll question, which we'll get to. We'll get to that in a second. But right now, we'll take a quick break. On the other side, like I said, Atlas Kids poll question and the outlook for the rest of the tournament. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Folks, if you want to advertise with us, shoot us a message at Quadrelli on Twitter, at ChrisFaber39 on Twitter as well. In the meantime, it's time for our episode 297 Atlas Goods poll question. Our poll question, brought to you by locally owned and operated Atlas Goods. Go to atlasgds.com, use promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order of Pop Rinds. You've heard us talk about them before, folks. These are the best fresh pork rinds straight out of your microwave or air fryer. I cannot stress the fresh factor enough, because they are completely different than any pork rinds you've had before. So go to atlasgds.com, use promo code CC15 15 for 15% off your first order of Pop Rinds. Our poll question today: which young star are you most excited to watch at Maine Canucks training camp, which is next week in Whistler, by the way? Archdeep Baines, Tristan Nielsen,
dog,
Linus Karlsson, and as always, I'm angry. Chris, I voted I'm angry, and I'm sure you could guess why. Can you please give your answer first?
Yeah, I know why you're mad. I guess at Maine camp, I kind of mentioned I would like to see Tristan Nielsen there. I mean, all three are kind of different reasons. I think Linus Karlsson, you want to see how he skates with NHL players. A lot of people believe that Karlsson might be that first call-up if you want to see a guy play in the top nine. I'm not really in that camp. I need to see this guy skate at the AHL level and have success there before he jumps a guy like Phil DiGiuseppe to me, or even a Sheldon Dries to play the wing. So, yeah, I think to me, I'm going to go with Nielsen. I think that his speed is something that I love. I want to see him fit in with NHL players. It's going to be interesting to watch him play because he is such an aggressive player that I think that he could adjust his game to be a guy who maybe down the road has a ceiling of playing fourth line minutes for the team and being a penalty killer. So I want to see this guy skate against NHL competition again. I think he's made big improvements from what we saw from him at last year's camp as well, where he was really a no-name guy. The only reason that we brought his name up was because he's a former Vancouver Giant. But after seeing certain things in the AHL and seeing how well he was able to produce at for a little bit of a stretch there, I want to see what he looks like moving forward. So he's the guy I want to watch, and all three of them, man, like really for different reasons. Like Archdeep Baines, I want to see him too. I want to see what he looks like in a preseason game. I hope that he plays with some NHL players in a preseason game at some point this year, where, you know, you maybe want to mix him in there on like a bottom six role with some players like, you know, some of the guys that are kind of on the fringe as well, and just see how he fits in with these fringe players for the Canucks roster. Like, you know, have him on a line with Dakota Joshua. Let him play with, like, a Jason Dickinson at center. Like, see what he looks like a little bit. So all three kind of have their reasons, and I know you even have, like, a fourth guy that you're excited to watch anyways here, who I'm already seeing comments coming in of why Archer Seelov is not on this list here.
That's right. We don't have a text inbox, but I'm going to read the replies. At Jared on Twitter: this is Seelov's erasure, okay? Brock Bergen on Twitter: Archer Seelov's is the correct answer, and he went ahead and tagged me in that as well, and I couldn't agree more. Look, I understand we've got to put I'm angry in this poll question, but folks, we almost had to put Archer Seelov's here. I can't believe Archer Seelov's isn't in this poll. I am extremely excited to watch him at main camp because, you know, this is an important camp for Archer Seelov's. Like I said, like, Mikey DiPietro is still here. I'm sure folks know that, and the sense that I get is perhaps that the organization might be, you know, waiting to see what happens and if any teams get desperate for goaltending help. You know, obviously the waiver wire gets a little busy at the conclusion of training camps and preseason games and stuff like that. So I'm curious to see kind of what happens with Mikey DiPietro if he is eventually moved, because remember, he made a trade request in the offseason, and you know, that trade request obviously hasn't been honored just about yet. And again, like, there's Nils Lundqvist news. I'm not sure if you saw it, Chris, but we're going to talk about that in a future episode. We're not going to talk about it in this one, but Nils Lundqvist not showing up to training camp, apparently. Rangers training camp, and that's coming straight from his agent, Claude Lemieux. But again, we'll get to that at a future date. But I thought Archer Seelov should have been in this poll. I'll read the responses to the poll. The voting so far: 45% of voters say Archdeep Baines, 8% say Tristan Nielsen, dog, and 35% say Linus Karlsson, 12% say they are angry. So 12% saying Archer Seelov's, basically. That's the only reason anybody would be angry at this poll question. And again, I gotta say, 12 is higher than 8, so Archer Seelov's is, people are more excited to see him than Tristan Nielsen.
Yeah. Yes, I wonder, I don't know, I feel like Seelov's would have, maybe run away with this poll a little bit. You know, this is what I say, this is what these people on Twitter, they always want it to be the other way around. You got you can never give the right three options for people. They always get pissed off. They want to see Seelov's, but no, this poll question is picking between these three players. That's what the poll question's about.
Okay. I don't really know what else to tell you. I want Archer Seelov's in the poll question. I didn't get him, and I don't have much to say.
Well, we'll do which goalie are you excited about to watch next year? We'll do something like that, whatever your little fun, I don't know, your little goalie talk things. We'll do that next week on the show. We'll get Woodley on here and everything. It'll be a blast.
That'd be a ton of fun. We're gonna have a good time at training camp. Remember last year at training camp we had Woodley on the show?
Yeah, and we kicked him off of this damn show actually at one point.
Yeah. It was all right, get out of here, Woodley. That's where the get out of here, Woodley from our intro, the goalie intro, it comes from. Okay, yeah. So that's our Atlas Goods poll question. Remember, folks, go to locally owned and operated atlasgds.com. They've got their location in Surrey. Not a retail location, though. That's for Epic. They are based out of Surrey, though. Same-day shipping if you order before 3 p.m., so go check out Atlas Goods. Chris, before we close out here, shorter episode today, give me your outlook for the rest of the tournament, what you're going to be watching for. Any thoughts that you have, hopes, dreams, aspirations?
Yeah, I think I'd love to see... Do you remember last year at main camp when they're doing their little scrimmages and Danila Klimovic had one game where he was excellent? Do you remember that one day?
Yep.
Okay, thanks for the addition there. Yeah, it was one day where like Klimovic really took over and he was playing against NHL competition. He looked great. He played well. And I want to see that at this tournament at some point. I do think it's a real possibility. I think especially watching, we watched that 4 o'clock game where the Oilers are playing the Jets. And I'll tell you what, within 10 minutes of watching the Canucks and Flames, we were like, okay, this is a much higher pace. The Canucks and Flames are playing well against each other. So I think that those two teams are going to be two of the stronger ones. I want to see Klimovic have a good game. I really want to see that throughout this tournament. He's only got two more games to kind of to leave his mark. There was definitely not a lot of things that went his way on Friday night. To me, it's like you need to find that consistency. But I think in a tournament like this, you just want to see one game where he really showcases everything. I want to see that shot be rung bar down on a goaltender and Klimovic coming down the wing and getting that going for him a little bit. So that's one of the things I definitely want to see. What about yourself? Anything you want to see from the prospects aside from another Archer Seelov star, which I know you want to see for sure?
Well, believe it or not, I have something to add on Klimovic beyond my going yep when you said something to me and I was totally checked out reading Twitter. But I do have something to add, and you make a good point about Klimovic, right, about wanting to see him take over a game. Chris, like, we talked about the importance for Archer Seelovs in the sense of, and I'm not trying to bring this back to the goaltender, but when we mentioned that...
Yeah, this is ridiculous what you're doing here.
Well, we mentioned that Jeremy Colliton's behind the bench, right? And this is, you know, this is all of these players. This is their first chance to, you know, be viewed by Jeremy Colliton, right? And again, this is going to be the coach out in Abbotsford this year. So you definitely want to make a good impression on your new coach. And this is the player's first opportunity to do that. Archer Seelov's definitely did it. But as you said, I don't think Danila Klimovic did on Friday night. And again, like, this was the organization's top prospect until Jonathan Lekkermäki was drafted, right? So, again, like, we want to see more from Klimovic. And again, like, this is going to be, you know, not... I don't want to use the term make or break and blow it into more than it is because it's not. But, look, first impressions matter. And, you know, Klimovic kind of doesn't have a ton more time to make a good first impression, if that makes sense. Like, he's got to do it at some point in this tournament, right? Because at training camp, it's definitely harder to make a first impression, you know, than you would at the Young Stars. Like, Klimovic is expected to be one of the best players in this tournament, and he's got to start acting like it soon.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing. I want to see one game where he takes over. I want to see one game where the Canucks win 5-2 against the Oilers and Klimovic has two goals and an assist, you know, and is able to just rip one of those one-timers. Because it's like, I don't know, you could almost see it even yesterday. Like, he gets that opportunity for the one-timer where he's like banging his stick on the ice for the one-timer on the power play. He gets the pass and then it's like his stick breaks, you know, and it's like, you just see the look on his face. Like, he, you know, like, I don't know, it's like when Superman like does his little eye laser thing. Like, that's what it looks like Klimovic was about to do. If he looked at you wrong, you were going to get lasered. But, like, I think watching him just, I don't know, like, it's like he needs to have a good start to a game to have the confidence to go through with it. I mean, when one thing goes bad and then another thing doesn't go his way, it's almost like the game's a write-off for him. And I think that's something that we've seen at the AHL, and I think that's something where, like, last season, Trent Cull talked about it with Klimovic. He said, you know, he wants to be like a father figure for him and help him transition to this league. And don't get me wrong, I think as an 18-year-old coming over here and not speaking the language, it was tough. And I think he did have to have I don't want to say baby him, but I mean, you know, like Trent Cole even said, he had to be a father figure more than a coach a lot of the season. This year, I think with a new coach and a guy who now has a year under his belt, spent the summer here in Vancouver, like you need to start to really coach this kid. Like he needs coaching. That's what he really needs. I don't think he got a ton of that in the Belarusian junior leagues or the second tier that he was in when he was drafted. This kid needs to be coached. I mean, there's all the raw talent in the world. Absolutely. You see it in practice. You see it in pregame. You know, I see people tweeting out videos of him in the pregame, just, you know, wiring shots and one-timers. And that's all great. It's all fine and dandy. It looks good in practice. And when he has time and space and no pressure, he's a great, great shooter. He really is. He has a shot that when he gets 100% of his wrist shot behind it, it's an NHL shot already. And that's damn impressive for a 19-year-old. But this kid needs to be coached. Like, he 100% needs to be coached. I really like Jeremy Calton in this role, who's, you know, coached internationally, coached at the NHL level, played at the NHL level, been to the AHL. He's developed. Like, the, you know, Calton is a really good coach to have in this spot. I just hope that, and I think he will, because it's a different spot now. Klimovich has been here. He can speak the language better. I do think that there should be, you know, the onus should be put on Calton right now to coach this kid, because he needs coaching. And if he gets the right coaching and is able to reach his potential that he shows so much already, it will be an NHL player there, but it's going to take a lot of coaching. And I think that needs to start happening this year, because I don't know if we saw a ton of, like, you know, people talked about it, and a lot of people in the organization talk about it. Ryan Johnson talks about it. Gary Agnew talked about it yesterday, who was the assistant coach last year, how much improvement there was throughout the season for Klimovich. And it was like, maybe, but there was also, you know, maybe the worst moment of his season came at the end last year when he turns over the puck in the neutral zone, slams his stick on the ice, and the other team goes and scores a goal. Like, those things need to be coached out of him. That can't happen at a pro level if you expect to be an NHL player. So this kid needs the coaching, and I think with the new head coach coming in who has a track record like Calton, I don't want to say there should be some pressure on Calton to make that happen, but this would be very good on his resume if he was the guy who was able to finally get some coaching to Danilo Klimovich and get him to the next level of actually becoming an NHL talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, impressions matter, and he's going to have that chance, right? He's going to have that chance the rest of the tournament. Okay, before we close out, do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I talked to Connor Garland just before I left here. About just like little things of his off-season work, and he brought up Jack Rathbun, who I know I think you talked to just the other day as well. And the stuff that Garland mentioned, because I kind of started with you know, trying to just start with something light and easy, because he was on the course with Jack Rathbun. If you remember this, at the very start of the off-season, they played a round together, and Rathbun hit his first hole in one. And apparently, this is the information I got from Garland. Rathbun on the golf course. Dog, apparently. Rathbun is apparently one of the best golfers that Garland plays with. He also said that they've been skating for a long time together, because they're from that same kind of, I think it's called Braintree. I think that's the part of Boston or part of Massachusetts that they're from. And they got a really good group out there. And he was saying, like, his skates, and I think we've heard this a little bit about Garland, is like his workouts are crazy. Like, he is a guy who really works hard in the off season, whether it be every time he touches the ice or when he's in the gym. He's a guy who works extremely hard. And to hear the way that Garland spoke about Rathbun, and I think we've really seen this, like, since the day that Rathbun first put on a Canucks jersey to what he is now. Like, maybe you can speak a little bit more to this because you got to chat with him in person, but like, in my eyes, he put on a lot of muscle coming into last season. He looked like he really got a lot bigger and looked like he was really preparing for pro hockey. And that's what Garland said, like, whether it be at workouts in the gym or on the ice, he loves going with Rathbun because the two players push each other so much. And on the ice, he's like, he was saying, like, things were getting pretty crazy between him and Rathbun in the offseason, like, just pushing each other and pushing each other at these skates and, like, getting physical with each other and really challenging each other. And to hear that, you know, couple of dogs right there, if you ask me, the way that they've been going at it in the off season. So that was exciting to kind of hear from Garland, who it's going to be really interesting to see how he fits next year. I mean, Bruce Boudreau was talking about Garland, saying that, you know, he really liked what Garland did in the kind of later parts of the season where he's putting up points. And you look at 5-on-5 scoring last year for the Canucks, tied with JT Miller at number one for 5-on-5 scoring. He ends up putting up 47 points at 5-on-5. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see how they use Garland. Like, is Garland a guy who maybe plays like the left side with Pettersson and Besser? Is he a guy who plays with Podkolzin and Miller? I think that, to me, Garland should be a lock at that top six. If you're looking like trying to make a line that really creates offense, to me, Connor Garland's that guy, man. I would love to see him play with either Miller or Pettersson, and I think that's what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you said something about Rathbone there. I'll get to that in a sec, because I had a one-on-one with him when everybody flew out to Penticton, or drove to Penticton, rather. But, you know, the one thing about Connor Garland that I'll say is, you know, Bruce Boudreau was asked about Garland playing on his offside, right? And, you know, what that kind of opens up for him. And I know we've exhausted the Quinn Hughes on the right side chatter as much as we could, I think, but you know, Boudreau was kind of talking about it with Garland and how he really likes playing there, you know, because it kind of, you know, opens up his opportunities to cut into the middle, right, which is something Garland really likes to do, and it's something he's pretty good at, right? So it'll be interesting to see kind of which side Connor Garland lines up on, because I think it's going to be his offside when this team lines up on opening night, and I think we're going to see a heavy dose of it in the preseason. So before we wrap, I'll quickly touch on the chat I had with Rathbone. It'll be coming out sometime this week. I'm not sure if it'll be Monday, not sure, it might even be Sunday, we'll see, but I spoke with Jack Rathbone, and it was really interesting because the conversation we had was really good. Like, he's really excited for this year, and I even gave him the opportunity. Like, I asked him if he had seen the headline when Jim Rutherford called Rathbone a player that is tracking well and deserves a chance in Vancouver this upcoming season. You know, Rathbone was really kind of even-keeled about it. He kind of said, like, look, like, I try not to read the headlines, and I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself. Like, Rathbone's definitely not taking anything for granted, but he does have he kind of sounded like a guy who had the confidence that he belonged in the NHL this year. And again, it wasn't coming from, well, they said it, so I deserve it. It's from, I know what I can do, and I know that I can help this team at the NHL level. And I think that's a really interesting kind of perspective that it seems like he kind of has. And again, I'll have more of it in the story, but it kind of goes back to what I said. I've been saying this since the season of, like, yeah, I think the reason that he stayed in the AHL for so long is because they really wanted him to just kind of over-marinate, right? And this is something Patrick Alvin kind of talked about in Pittsburgh, is we like to keep our guys in the AHL so they can really, really get good, and then by the time they're ready to come to the NHL, they're ready to go because they've had so much AHL experience. But, you know, with kind of the old philosophy, right, it was kind of, well, he's probably the best option that they have for the third pairing, so let's put him up here. Like, you know, he was probably better than Brad Hunt, who was getting games, right? And again, like, I said it before, and I'll say it again, like, he was probably a better option than Brad Hunt, but I think the organization wanted to have him kind of get that experience in the AHL, and I think long-term, he's going to be better off for it. It's what someone said to me about this when I was talking with them is, you know, that AHL experience playing in every situation and playing top 4 minutes is the difference between having an NHL top four defenseman and a guy who tops out as a third pairing guy, because that's all he's done at the NHL level, right? Like, this is a guy who's playing heavy minutes in the AHL, right? First power play, he was killing penalties, he was doing everything, right? Like, that's how you get a well-rounded defenseman, is by giving them these opportunities in the AHL. So I'm really excited to see what Jack Rathbone's able to do this season.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, to me, the philosophy behind kind of the way that Alvin and even Rutherford has used players in the AHL is like, you get them to a point where, like, think about, like, Adam Gaudette, right? Like, when Adam Gaudette, and I think hearing people talk about Adam Gaudette and the development over the summer was interesting, but even Trent Cull's comments were pretty, very interesting and telling, I think, on that subject. Who, by the way, Trent Cull's mustache right now is like, it's 9 out of 10. It is big and juicy. The Canucks fans are going to see that on the NHL bench, man. I tell you, people are going to change their thoughts on Trent Cull. They're going to love the mustache. It looks good. He's out here at Young Stars as well. But with Rathbone, it's like, and making the comparison to maybe Gaudette, it's like, Gaudette at the time, they were like, he looks like he might be ready for NHL minutes, right? Like, he might be ready. But you look at what Rathbone did last year, and throughout the season, watching him play in the AHL, in my eyes, you looked and you're like, oh, he is for sure ready for the next level. There's that much confidence in his own game from him playing. Think about what he went through last year too with that injury. That was a really bad injury, man. Getting hit in the back, being taken off on a stretcher, that situation. He just bounced back from that so, I'd say, quick and just so well to get right back into the swing of things. I think even going through something like that's big for a player to see that that doesn't have to worry them at all. He went through a really tough injury, but he bounced right back into game action and looked excellent. And he's a player where you nailed it. He was as good, I think, in my eyes, as a guy that as using Brad Hunt. But it felt good to just let him dominate and let him be so ready for the next level. And that's something that you just saw last year with Rathbone. All AHL team for defenseman, all rookie team. He was excellent. He was more than a point per game player in the A. There was nights where he was putting up, close to 5 points in a game. The guy was ridiculous certain times in the AHL. And I think that having that level of, okay, I'm better than this league and ready for the next thing, and the next thing being the NHL, that's where I think he's at right now. So, I think that you're bang on with kind of just assessing that you want to see a player not top out as a third pairing player. And I think that that's what this extra time in the AHL. And hey, you know what? It wouldn't shock me if he does start the season still in the A. It really wouldn't. If you really like what Dermott's doing and say Poolman looks healthy and that's what your third pairing ends up looking like, or Quinn Hughes goes to the right side and something else shakes down, it wouldn't shock me if they have him back there to just start the season. And then at any point, if you have an injury or if you have a player that isn't playing well, and I leans more specifically to that side of if a player isn't playing well, say Dermott's not, he's made a bunch of errors in a row, you take him right out of the lineup and you run with Rathbone until he really screws up. And I kind of like for Rathbone maybe that being the case, because if he gets an opportunity because of poor play from someone at the NHL level, then he comes up and he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to be as good as possible so that he can stick in that spot. That's kind of the best case scenario I see playing out for him, aside from him just coming into camp and looking excellent and absolutely dominating for a spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I say I wouldn't be surprised if he starts the season in the AHL, I want to see him at NHL training camp and I want to see him in the preseason. What I'm most curious about, Chris, is if they kind of ride the wheels off him like they did last preseason, right? And that was an attempt to see, can this guy handle the NHL grind, right? I'd like to see Rathbone play in every preseason game once again, and I'd really like to see him get the opportunity to prove himself, because I think he's capable, man. I think he's capable of playing top 4 minutes in the NHL, and I really want to see him prove that. But I'll reserve my take on if I'd be surprised to see him in the AHL to start the season until I've actually seen him play in the preseason this year. How much improvement are we seeing from the AHL? Because when I asked him, he said he feels a lot more well-equipped for the NHL game after playing that year in the AHL.
Yeah, I think actually, this might be. Let's close out on that. I'll quickly do a little prospects report. Victor Pearson ends up getting an assist. He was playing top pairing minutes in the Liga, which is honestly, man, I don't know what the hell's going on over there in that Finnish Liga anymore. He was, Victor Pearson's healthy scratch for the first game of the season. Then the next game comes up and he's on the top pairing. So, I don't know what the hell's going on with that Pelicans team. There's probably a reason why they're called the Pelicans, because, there's a lot going on over there that I don't know what the hell's happening. And then we got SHL and Al Svenskin getting going very quickly. I think SHL is actually, right now, today is the first day of the SHL, as we're recording this on Saturday, which we don't normally do. So I'm going to keep my eye out and see if Elias Pettersson's playing. I think his game starts in 12 minutes right now, right about when this podcast is getting released. So keep an eye on that. I'll be tweeting about Pettersson a little bit. But let's close out on this. You brought it up that you'd like to see Rathbone play every game in the preseason. I think we've heard it from the organization. I forget who now. I think it might have been Boudreaux or Alvin, that they want to see Kuzmenko in every game in the preseason. Who else? Is there another player for you on the Canucks roster that you want to see play every game in the preseason?
I'd see Vasily Podkolzin. I think Vasily Podkolzin's probably the only guy that really comes to mind. Obviously you want Kuzmenko there. Maybe Mikheyev, there's a chance for him to play in every game because you want to get him comfortable with the systems right away. I think Podkolzin's up there, though. I guess it's the Russian players, right, that I'd like to see, playing in every preseason game.
I'm thinking Nils Höglander, I think. I mean, just to prove himself under Bruce Boudreaux, right? I'd like to see Höglander be able to skate in a, you know, skate in a top nine line, but then also skate on a fourth line. Like, see what he looks like with Curtis Lazar and Jason Dickinson. Like, play that as a line. See what it looks like. Is that something you want to go with, or are they really that set on Dakota Joshua being not only a fourth-line player, but the words we've heard from Patrick Alvin is, like, he's going to help the bottom six. Like, is Dakota Joshua winning a third-line spot on this team? I don't think so. But, I mean, he could be a guy who plays on the fourth line instead of Höglander still. And I think it was kind of funny, like, you know, we talked about it quite a bit on the show of, like, you know, maybe Höglander starts in the A, and it just felt like all that thought process like disappeared when we got to see him back on the ice, because you just remember, you're like, oh, like, you know, Höglander's so fast, like he's NHL fast, he's got great hands, and it's like he's got to be in the NHL lineup. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in preseason, because I don't know if he's been at the skates yet, but I don't think I've seen Dakota Joshua yet. Last week before I left, I don't think he's been at the summer skates yet, right?
No, I don't think he has, actually. That's a really good point.
So, interesting there, because I think he's in a spot where he's not, I don't know, it sounds like from the organization, like, it is a guaranteed spot on the NHL lineup for Joshua. I'm telling you, I'm not sold on this guy yet. Like, I've heard the analytics are good, but I've seen him play, and, like, I've seen him play in the AHL more specifically, and I heard his game has maybe changed in the last couple of years since he was with Utica, and he really picked up after that, but I don't know. It felt like when he was signed in that free agency, like Alvin saying that he's going to be in their bottom six. Like, I don't know. If he's really there, there is a chance that Höglander's not on this roster, but I just don't think they can do that to this kid who should be in the NHL, I think, but could be starting the season in the A as well. Like, that's a serious option for a guy who doesn't even need to pass through waivers.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's kind of how we've always viewed it, right? Is if, you know, if Joshua's in this lineup, it's, you know, Joshua probably fits on a fourth line better than Nils Höglander does, right? Unless you make it like a scoring line, right? But I don't really know what this outlook is going to be for this team, right? So we'll have to wait and see. Again, like, it's a good point that you'd like to see Höglander play in every preseason game, because you want to give him that opportunity to prove himself, right? So, you know, it's definitely an interesting perspective for sure, and one of the battles that we're going to be watching at training camp. Also, shout out Stéphane Roger, wrote an article at Canucks Army about the one-on-one preseason battles that are going to be happening throughout training camp and whatnot. He did three of them, and Jack Rathbone's on that list, as is Nils Höglander. We'll close it out there. Do you have anything to add before I rush you, Chris? Because I need Greg to know that I didn't rush you. Also, Greg reached out to us after the last episode, and he said that you made a false accusation that I was trying to rush you. He said no flag on the play.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Greg's starting to become part of the show lore here as the wrap-up. And yes, I do have something to add. So I got practice here. I think it's at noon in Penticton. After that, Claude, you know, you and I like to do this, go out and play pitch and putt, but here comes the money. Harm and I are going to play a pitch and putt game after this, after practice, before the 7 o'clock game. So I'm super curious to see. We haven't golfed with Harm, right? Like, did we pitch and putt with him once?
No, Harm told us that he could only go to the driving range.
Okay, so it's going to be it, because we didn't bring clubs up here, so we're going to have to go rent some clubs, but we're going to go, there's one like right across the street from us, a little pitch and putt. Looks nice. It's a pitch and putt that's got water you can shoot over. Like, it looks like a nice little pitch and putt, so we're going to go see how that goes. And he better be paying, because, yeah, they played a song last night, and somehow, like, he just pulled $40. Some guy walked by, put $40 on the table in front of Harm. I said, what's going on here?
Huh. Wow. Okay, that's going to be a good round. You're going to need to tell us about it, just so you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious to see, like, you know, Harm doesn't golf very often, so, and I'll tell you, man, the way I was playing, I played golf a couple times a few weeks ago, a couple back-to-back weekends playing, and I'm hitting the iron strong, so we'll see how it goes. It's going to be nice, and it's a good weather up here in Penticton, enjoying it so far. Got some good food recommendations from my pal Steve, who used to live up here. And yeah, the fans have been excellent. Shout out to everyone that yelled at me as I was running down to do media. We had to go through the fans leaving the arena. So J-Pat and I, you know, J-Pat was a really good little fullback for me. He was leading the way, and he was moving. Like, J-Pat can speed walk with the best of them. I was like, what do you want me to do? Put a shoulder down and move? He's like, no. He's like, I'll lead the way. And he's like, you be the running back. He's like, you be the halfback. I'll be the fullback. And I was like, all right, makes sense. And J-Pat put his shoulder down and and got moving. Like, we were going the opposite way of the crowd who was exiting, and the whole arena's coming up one exit, it felt like, and J-Pat was just moving and cutting and weaving, and I was just following his lead. So we got out of there, but shout out to everyone that was yelling out Faber at me as I'm following J-Pat, who's, yeah, like I said, the fastest speedwalker I've ever seen. And I tweeted this out, but somebody asked how long his quad's going to be as I'm leaving the parking lot. They asked how long you're going to be just talking about this Seelov shutout so much over the next little bit. And I was like, yeah, dude, he's not going to shut up about it ever. So it's going to be that. It's going to be next episode. And I'm worried now, like, because I feel like the Flames had a pretty strong Young Stars team, and if Seelov gets another start and puts up another shutout, man, I'm not gonna hear the end of that ever from you on this show.
That's right, and we don't use that word here, Chris. You probably just jinxed him, but whatever. We'll just leave it at that. Chris used the word once again.
Oh my god!
To our show.
There's no game on Saturday. I can say it on a day off at least. You guys got mad 4 hours before the game because I said it. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Whatever. You know you're not supposed to use that word. We'll close it out there. For my co-host, Chris Faber, who used a bad word today.
No. Hey, Quadrelli. No. Greg, listen up. Shut him up. This is the last time. As of next Tuesday, we'll be recording in the new studio because we need to get warmed up for the show, because let people know, we are now less than 10 days away from going 5 shows a week and being live on YouTube. So we got a lot of work to do next week because, yeah, we are less than 10 days away from going to 5 shows a week. Which is very exciting for us. But yeah, countdown is on, man. The 26th, the Monday. That's our first day, and we're super excited for it. But also going to be an interesting week next week. You and I setting up this this whole new setup for us. I still need to buy you a chair, actually, for the new studio. But the studio is changing next week. We'll see how it sounds. We'll see how it looks. To our Patreon supporters, they're, you know, hopefully going to be able to see what the video format looks like. For the first show there for next week, whether we do it on Tuesday or Wednesday. If you want to join the Patreon to support the show, we're going to be doing a lot more kind of just little 5-10 minute episodes kind of as we wrap up the show kind of thing. We're going to be putting a lot more content out there if there's stuff that we like to talk about that's kind of away from the rink and more fun. So patreon.com/CanucksConvo for that. And you'll also get a little bit of a preview on what the live show is going to look like on video. So we're going to have that up next week for folks as we kind of run through our trials on the two shows that we record next week. So a lot of interesting stuff, but yeah, pretty wild. Eh? Less than 10 days quads till we, I don't know if you've like let it sink in yet, how much work 5 shows a week is actually going to end up being. It's a lot the more that I think about it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, though. We're really excited for it. I'm excited. Like I told you, like Canucks Army's rolling right now. Hashtag pass Oilers Nation. We're feeling really good about this upcoming season. Obviously, yeah, like we had Wyatt. Things are looking up at Canucks Army. I'm very excited for this upcoming season.
Yeah, me too. And I feel like my voice has gotten better as the show's gone on, which is good.
You were not sounding good when you called me.
And I want to make it clear, it wasn't because I went out drinking last night. That's why I sounded so bad on Halpern and Brough on Friday morning at 7:30 in the morning. I sounded horrible because of a couple of beers with the Carson Price guys on Thursday night. But not even a drop of alcohol last night. Ended up just having some of my Powerades and getting to sleep, but I left the AC on, and I will not make that mistake again tonight. But I feel like the voice is warmed up now, feeling a lot better. So I'm ready to go talk to Klimovich. That's who we're getting today. So that's exciting because we haven't heard from him since main camp last year when he was up there with Archer Seelovs to answer a few questions.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. I'm excited for the rest of the tournament. I'm excited to hear what Klimovich and my boy Archer Seelovs has to say through translation. All right, we'll close it out there for real this time. For my co-host Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.